Mike Shinoda, hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well today, thank you.
Welcome to London.
I'm happy to be here. We had a really nice time walking around last night. Ready to face the day of trying to keep my head straight and answer questions.
Well, you brought some nice weather with you as well.
I guess I did. Yeah.
You did indeed. So how are things with you? Everything all right?
This trip through Europe is very fast. Just like a day in each city and then gone. Mm. And, it's talking about this stuff is a little heavy.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. But, so far so good.
Well, good. I mean, the new album is obviously out there now, Post-Traumatic, and without wanting to sound overly trite, it's clearly a hugely personal record for you. Now that it's done, it's out there, how do you feel about it?
Well, it feels great to have it out in the world. It started, I always tell people, like, basically when Chester passed away, I didn't leave my house for days or weeks. Eventually I realized I was staying away from, like, my home studio. That's where I write all my stuff and play, you know, even just jam. And I was, like, not going in there because it just made me uncomfortable to even do it. So in order to get over that anxiety, I needed to just go in there and sit down and play something. And I started jamming a little bit on piano here and there and a little guitar here and there. And next thing I knew, I was writing stuff. So the album became a diary. You know, it's just going through. The creation of the album was probably like 8 or 9 months, maybe not longer than that for sure. So it was really like just capturing all those moments that were happening as they were happening, and from going from like the worst of it to like a pretty good place.
You get a real sense of it being a diary, you know, from the first track, you know, when you have those voicemail messages you know, from the very start of it, it's a process, isn't it? And a journey, and it's, you know, hugely, hugely personal. I feel like I know you.
The beginning. Better, I mean, the reason I did the messages and the footage, the kinds of, you know, DIY, basically phone videos. Mm. I mean, I did the videos for the first three songs like on my phone. I wanted to put people in my shoes in a way that I knew there were things that when people thought of my situation or when they would start to listen to the album, that they would be either assuming things that weren't quite right, or they would be missing things that were important. And one of the things that's important is that, you know, every time I picked up my phone, I was getting, it wouldn't matter what I was thinking of, I always got brought back to what had happened. It was, you know, it was constantly around me. I could go to lunch and it was around me. I could be just walking around anywhere and the songs would start playing. People, you know, radio DJ would be talking about it. People would walk up and they'd say stuff. So, you know, that beginning point was very overwhelming. And the songs, the first song on the record is actually the track, like the basis of that track and some of the lyrics I wrote when we were doing One More Light. So it was actually a couple years ago. And I listened to it when I was starting to make stuff, and I listened to it and I went, oh, I know how to fix that song. Like, I can, if I do that, if I change these words and edit it this way, it brings that song up to like this moment. It really has the right kind of like message. So then it just started from there. And eventually, you know, as days went on, I realized I had opportunities to capture some of the things that were happening in my head and in my reality that were unusual. And you know, they might be the only time I'd think those things or feel that way. And I wanted to make sure it was in the song.
Well, you're laid bare on the record, aren't you? You know, it's your fears, your worries, your grief, your sort of recovery. It's all on there. I mean, I've personally took a lot from it. I was surprised, actually, because I lost my father when I was very much younger. And to my surprise, the record took me off to places in my mind that I hadn't been before. Oh. You know, thoughts and feelings that I'd perhaps boxed away. Mm. And, you know, it took me there, which I wasn't expecting at all, but in a good way.
I mean, going through it was, you know, it was something that I hoped, as I was, like, recording the stuff, I did hope that it would do that for people, whether they were thinking of their own lives or they were thinking of Chester. Yeah. Like, if they had a relationship with our music and they just really felt, like, a sadness that thing was over.
I saw that on your Twitter.
Yeah.
Because you put the status up of the new album being out there, and there are numerous messages from people, from your fans, saying, I love this, it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, something similar happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really helped me. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that must be a wonderful sort of byproduct to the process.
Oh, it's not. I mean, it was one of my things that I hoped it would do for people. Like, that's kind of... That was one of the intentions. And then I think one of the other intentions was just to keep, almost like catch people up on where I was or where I am, because I was just realizing as I was starting to make the songs that by saying the things I was saying, if it ended up being too personal, I could take it out later. But if I left it in, then... it would let people in on the journey that I was taking, that I wasn't in the place that they assumed I was. If I had just gone away for a few years and come back with just kind of like a normal, predictable, like whatever a Linkin Park album would be, or Fort Minor or whatever, the next thing I put out is just kind of like back to work kind of thing. It would be so weird. It would be crazy. And like tone deaf to not address everything in between. Like when I listen to some albums, I'll refrain from naming anything, but when I listen to some albums that are created by groups who have lost a member, it is kind of weird to me that they don't like just really directly address what happened, you know?
Yeah.
I felt like, well, if that's my gut, then that means that that's the way I have to do it.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, and also this is, it's a cathartic process for you, isn't it, as well? It's something that you clearly needed to do.
It felt like the right thing to do. Also, just like sitting and playing an instrument, like if you just sit down and play a guitar or sit down and play a piano with no words, or you're not playing a song, just picking out notes and playing something that, you know... If you studied classical piano, you play some Beethoven, you play some whatever, you know? There's something about that that calms my mind. It just really makes me, puts me into a lower, more reflective gear, and it actually helps me think better. And so that was helpful on its own. Like not even, you know, separating out like the writing process where I was writing lyrics and things, which was also helpful. Just the idea of just sitting and playing an instrument was its own kind of helpful that was different from the other.
Well, I wanted to ask you about this because people have long spoken, I think, about the sort of positive power of music and the benefits it can have on people's well-being and also mental health as well. Mm-hmm. So would you say that this process, this music, has been its own form of healing to you over the past year?
Of course, yeah. And it's you know, I just talked about like the musical... meditative process, you know, less analytical. Like that's more, if I'm just jamming on a guitar or something, like that's not analytical or, you know, there's no logic to it so much. There's little logic. But then on the other hand, the lyric writing process was also cathartic in a more... intellectual kind of way and emotional, but together. So here's why. Like I would write something and say, you know, this is how I feel. And I'd write the lyrics and I'd look at the song and I'd listen to it. And if it was bullshit, if it was untrue, or I was like kind of fibbing myself a little bit, then I'd listen to it and it would sound wrong. Like I noticed that right away, that I would listen to the song and I would go, this part just sounds kind of like, I don't believe me. I don't believe this part. Why? And then I'd listen, I'd think, at first I thought it was just because I said the wrong words, or like it didn't, the flow of the, or the notes weren't good or something. But I realized almost always it was because I was kidding myself. Like I was believing a thing that wasn't actually true.
That's interesting.
And so then I went into the lyrics and said, okay, well, if I'm kind of full of it and I was saying things this way, but that's not true, and the truth is actually this, I always came with a way better lyric because I figured out my own crap.
You know? I think Make It Up As I Go is a tremendous lyric, by the way, as well. I mean that's a track that I return to. I like the words. I think they're very clever, and I think they're very true, because in this situation, you know, a lot of people will agree there's no hard and fast way to approach it.
Right.
You know, you do make it up as you go, don't you?
That's kind of almost like a theme of everything that I'm doing right now. Like usually with an album, I finish it and I'm when I talk to people about it, it's looking back at a thing that's done, and now we're going to go tour and present the thing that's done. And this album to me feels like something else. Like it feels like the first step in a journey, and the journey is uncharted. And it's undefined, and I'm just gonna kind of do a walkabout and figure it out, you know. So I know I'm booking shows. I'm not gonna like not show up to my shows. But at the shows, I mean, I don't know. Like, if I end up playing more songs than I plan to, great. If I end up playing fewer because I want to talk and tell stories, then great. If it ends up being silly and we want to tell jokes and screw around, I don't know. Great. If I end up, you know, when I'm done with that, if I end up wanting to get together with another artist and just make songs with them, or go, you know, meet up with some of the guys in the band and do that, like, it's all open. It's all on the table.
You get a sense of that actually come the end of the record, because you feel, obviously, that it's a journey, and it is this sort of musical diary. And then at the end of the album, I do feel like there's this sort of positive outlook.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not the end.
You know, it's hopeful.
It's hopeful.
It's hopeful, but, and aware. Like, it's not, you know, I felt like at the end of it, I struggled for a moment. Not struggled, but I, when you're making something, I tend to just be critical of it to see if there's something I can make better. And I was listening to it going, you know, does it have the right amount of hope and the right tone, you know? And there's still some like complexity to the end, like to the last couple songs. You know, things aren't perfect.
No, they're not going to be.
But that's okay.
Well, if it was, you know, you wouldn't be true to yourself, would you?
Then we'd be full of ourselves.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. You've written a lot of very powerful music over the years. You must be so proud of this particular record, though. You know, out of adversity, you have produced some really wonderful art here, I think.
Thanks. I've said this about some of our other records, and it's true for this one as well, that I've never been like the kind of artist that it's on like on a straight path, that like one thing is going to lead to the next and that's going to lead to the next. I mean, you know, sonically and stylistically from album to album, sometimes the jumps can be dramatic and not make any sense. And that's because like I come from like a visual art background. Like that's what I grew up doing and loving, and going to see art shows, and when I go see someone's show, like, you know, sometimes you show, like I love Murakami, for example. So one show you go see Murakami and it's you know, prints, large format prints of his characters, and it's clean and it looks like anime and it's all of that, and the next time you show up and it's hyper sexualized sculptures no paintings, and you're just like, it might as well be an entirely different artist. Next time you show up, it's very grimy, these like enormous, like wall sized pieces that are like, look like they're decaying and falling apart. That's what I like about his work. That's also what I like to do, is like when I have a concept for a body of work that I just kind of go all in. This one, I didn't really have a concept for it. I just had a concept of what I was living through and just tried to capture that the best I could. And we'll see what the next one is. I can't imagine I'm going to do this again, because I'm not in the same place today that I was 9 months ago.
And you won't be in 12 months' time.
Yeah.
I enjoyed, actually, on the visual arts front, I enjoyed the sketch you did this morning on Instagram.
Did you see that I made a mistake?
It popped up.
This was a funny one. I haven't made like as bad a mistake on any of my show announcement draw. I've been, for every show announcement, I've been doing a drawing.
Yeah.
And then this time I did it on Instagram Live, so you could like watch me do the whole drawing, and then the drawing is up on Instagram. But I fucked up the date. Like I think I put the 6th and the date is September 3rd. So I covered it up. Like I had to like cut out a little piece of paper and write 3 on it and stick it on top.
Okay. It was good though. Did you like the sketch? I mean, you clearly are very good at it.
Yeah, I'm always like sketching. And in fact, once I do one, like I usually sit and do a couple more just for fun.
Yeah.
Just because it's fun.
I likes it. Yeah. What's next for you? Obviously, we've got Reading and Leeds coming up as well, which will, that'll be fun. Looking forward to seeing you there.
I'm looking forward to playing. I'm loving doing shows. It's surprising, because I thought, like going into it, I thought it would be really hard.
Well, that I was going to ask. Is it tough? Is it?
Well, it was. It was. And occasionally it hits me like, oh God, this is like so different. This is not the way I want to do a show. I want to have the other thing. Mm. You know, like part of it is because at our best with the band, like it's a group of friends against the world. You know, like that was always like we could be playing crowds that loved us. We could be playing crowds that were like screaming and throwing things, and we would turn them. Like the regular occurrence back in the beginning, that people would show up thinking they were there for, this is like, I don't say this to disparage the band. I just say it because it's what happened. They'd come to scream and throw things at Crazy Town, and then we'd go on stage and they'd have that same negative energy, and we'd manage to get them on our side. That kind of a feeling is very, obviously very satisfying, and it's hard work, but it's fun. And I did that with Chester and the guys. I also like, you know, he had such a magical and like one of a kind instrument, you know, he was just like, you could give him nearly any kind of like reference. Maybe not any, but so many different singers, he could imitate them and it would sound so close. Like it would sound just like what you were trying to get him to do. I'd say, do you know, we're writing a song and he sings it. And I go, oh, it sounds a little too Dave Gahan. Like give it some more Adele soulfulness. And he'd do it and be like, yes, okay, now it's got that. But now I don't like it as much. Like, can you do it a little bit more Scott Weiland? And he'd do it, you know, and he could do all these different things. And for me as a writer, that's like such a powerful like pair, right? So I'll miss that. That was like,
of
really,
course you will, you know, but the really, memories will always be there as well, of course.
Yeah, the songs are the songs. You know, we have all those recordings, and I've really come to a nice place of like celebrating what that was and how great, really, it was. Like as a fan of a friend and a fan of his, like we got a lot of good music out of it and a lot of good memories. And so when I get on stage now, I'm more at peace with that. Like it's like I can get out on a stage and it's just my show and I can do what I want with it. If I want to make it terrible and the fans will run away screaming and saying how awful it was, I can do that if I want.
I don't think that will happen.
And what I usually do is, you know, I've been in my head, like each show is very different still. Like I'm really experimenting with how to present it, how to like get the energy just right and make it feel like something. I want the show to be fun. Like it should be fun and not be all about, you know, heavy negative stuff. Like there are moments for tribute in the show, but most of the show is about, you know, catharsis and music and having a positive, good time that like is more meaningful than your average show. I want you to walk away feeling like, wow, that did something for me.
Well, once again, it's the power of music, isn't it?
I hope so.
Yeah, I think so.
I feel that way.
So just finishing up, what's next for you? Is it sort of day by day or, you know, make it up as you go?
Yeah, it is day by day. Just, you know, still putting shows together and announcing those. And very, you know, as I said, very active on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, like doing a lot of, like, I feel like the story of the album, you know, we talked about it being like a diary. Well, the diary now continues on just everyday stuff. So it's like things are happening all the time. Like I'm sharing those as I go. And the fans are kind of playing a role. Like they're interacting with it. They get to tell their own version and their own side of the story too.
Well, we're enjoying the sharing. So, Mike, it's been a real pleasure.
Thank you. It's always good to talk to you.